Asked me a question during the break, and I thought it brought up a thought that I thought it'd be good to talk about before we go into ministry, that when we're talking about being led by the Spirit and being in situations where the Lord might be prompting us to say something to somebody, particularly in this world today, when so many people are governing their lives by just bizarre deceptions about what's going to bring fulfillment in life. Well, how do we do that in a way that's not going to offend people? Well, first of all, in the general sense, any time you say to a person, you need to change, it's offensive. And God, and I mean, you're not saying you need to change. That's what you say to people. But we forget that the very beginning part of the gospel message, according to John the Baptist, Jesus 12 and 70, is repent. Get a renewed mind to change your ways. But as we think about saying hard things, whether to groups of people or individuals, back to the diagram here, if we are in fact being led by the Spirit and not just speaking religiously to people, that is not the goal, but as the Spirit leads us, as the Spirit gives us opportunity, that's why we prayed, lead us and guide us, fill us, Holy Spirit, it becomes, so to speak, the sword of the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've had this experience many times in the past, where you end up in a debate with a person there's no fruit from. And just because we think we should say something to a person or engage in a particular avenue of discussion, that doesn't always mean there's going to be fruit from it. But if you have that deep sense of conviction within your spirit that you're to say these things, there will be fruit from it. It might not be immediate. It might not even be at that moment, but God's word will not return void. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of a person's heart. So particularly if you're sharing the gospel with someone who doesn't know the Lord, you know, which is usually the case when you're sharing the gospel, that in their soul, they may be filled up with secular humanistic values. They may be caught up in any number of deceptions. But as you're being led by the Lord, you will say things in the grace of God that are the sword of the Spirit. That in their soul, they have all these questions, all these objections, and even biases in their mind. But if you say something that's inspired by the Holy Spirit, you know, you don't need to put on any airs, you don't need to bling it up, but just be yourself. But what you will say to them, it will cut between the soul and release truth into the Spirit. Again, in their soul, they could have a million and one objections. They should be caught up in the latest socialistic, political, you know, whatever thing in there. They may be just strictly parroting everything they've heard everybody else say, but it releases life. I was telling a story last night, as I was with some of the pastors and elders at dinner, that a woman wanted to meet with me, my home church. I didn't know who she was, never seen her before, but she wanted to meet, and I met with her the day before I flew out to come over here. And I'm going to say what I'm going to say in very general terms, because I know you have a different set of laws about what you can say from the pulpit here in England as opposed to California, and I do want to come back at a future date to England. So I think you'll be able to fill in the gaps of what I'm not saying. But she had been caught up in a certain lifestyle with certain sexual perspectives for 20 years. And what happened was, you know, she had lived that lifestyle. She was a single woman. She was very successful financially, a real go-getter. But she'd been living that lifestyle. And she got saved in our church about a year and a half ago or so. And she received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but she was still, and we're very upfront about biblical values of right and wrongs in our church. And she would just kind of dismiss that stuff when she heard it. And she just lived with her stuff, thinking, well, God loves me and this is just the way I am. But I was doing a conference, and I didn't know her from anybody. I don't remember this occasion. But when I met with her earlier this week, she said, I came to a conference you were speaking at, and you ministered in the Holy Spirit. And she said, I've never experienced anything like that. The Holy Spirit just washed over me, and I felt this power, this burning going on within me. And then she said, I was so overwhelmed, I just had to go back and find my seat and sit down and just sit there in the presence of the Lord. But as I was sitting there, all of a sudden, three memories that I had never had any recollection of very, very clear came up when I was a child of when I was sexually abused. And all of a sudden, I realized why I had the certain focuses I've had sexually all these years. And she said, not only did I receive prayer later on and healing for the abuse that took place, but I've been completely set free from the orientation I've had. And she is now on a mission. She's been on a couple of radio shows, and she's using all of her networking skills she's used for 20 years in the business world to interact with certain groups and people. And so I tell you that story to say that, what the Apostle Paul said, that I did not stand among you with clever, persuasive words. We're not called to put our emphasis on debating with people. In fact, sometimes once people enter the debate stage, the battle's lost at that point, because what we're talking about is strongholds of the mind. But the Apostle Paul said, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when we are in a situation and the Holy Spirit's calling us to say a challenging thing in a challenging situation, we can have a confidence that as we're being led by the Spirit, rather than simply offending people, even though they might end up offended, that it will bring conviction and life and encouragement. Does that help anybody? You know, and keep in mind, Jesus did not come to win friends. He came to raise up disciples. You know, and when Jesus, and for example, in John chapter 6, began to speak about eating his body, drinking his blood, I mean, he went on and on and on with that message. And the larger group of people, thousands and thousands and thousands that were following him, they all abandoned him. And the larger group of disciples even stopped following him. In fact, if you read about it towards the end of John chapter 6, he even then went to the 12 and said, are you going to leave me also? See, Jesus, those two factors I was talking about, having a sense of security and a sense of significance, his sense of significance was never based on how popular he was with men. They were never based upon that. His sense of significance was based on the Father's love. I appreciate those blank looks. So, getting back to what I said last night, Proverbs, 28 verse 1, the righteous shall be as bold as a lion. How are your shoulders doing? Are you the one we prayed for last night? How are your shoulders doing? Can you speak up just a little? Yeah.
This work?
Yeah, the pain was about 70% gone last night, was still niggling. But through the night, it was the worst pain I've ever had.
Okay.
So I think there's been a bit of a spiritual battle.
Okay, so that's a bit of retaliatory warfare.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just a couple of you put hands on her shoulders. Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who loves to heal, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you that what's difficult for us and even sometimes a challenge for doctors, medicine, science, technology is never difficult for you. Lord, would you release your healing miracle power, Lord. And we bless those rotator cuffs that have been damaged to be completely restored in the name of Jesus. We tell not only the pain to be gone, but we bless the tissue that's been damaged and the connecting tissue specifically to be rebuilt, to be strong and flexible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord God. Okay, how many of you know that while it's great when healing happens, complete healing happens the first time we pray, sometimes it's a battle. It's not just a one-time shot. We have the story in the Gospels about Jesus prayed for the blind man, and then he said to him, "Well, how do you see?" His eyes were open, but he said, "I see people, but they look like trees," meaning everything was blurry. So Jesus prayed a second time for him, and then he was completely healed. So if it was necessary for Jesus to pray on one occasion twice for a person, you and I might have to pray 20, 30 times, although it is great. But speaking about healing, what is your admin person's name? Leslie. Leslie, come on up here. She's got a couple of great testimonies of some healings when I see her a few years ago. I'll come down there.
You're not getting overtime.
So Leslie, what happened to, I think the first time you had a healing when I was here, you suffered from Crohn's disease, was that it?
Ulcerative colitis.
Okay, why don't you just share what happened?
There was a couple, actually. I had chronic ulcerative colitis, which rapidly got worse over a number of years. I was sort of having drugs a long time up until that point, and children and everything else moving on. But then developed a blood issue as well, which meant my blood wouldn't clot. And so was expecting a baby, had this raging ulcerative colitis. And then my blood decided that didn't like the platelets, so wiped them out. So the doctors were in a battle of, we don't know what to do with her. So I was put on a lot of steroids. I went through a lot of pain, a lot of hospital, which actually I enjoyed the hospital because there's a lot of fellowship in there and it went really well. But a long story short, after having my second child, Kate, who's now 35, it just got even worse, where I had absolutely zero quality of life, absolutely none. And everything else kicked up a gear as well. So the platelet problem got worse, the colitis got worse, which ended up I had to have everything removed. And a stoma, another little mini story within the story. That didn't work. I was sort of nearly one step from dead after they decided to join the dots, which didn't join very well. But after all of that, they didn't know whether I was going to survive the night. And I was in Leeds at the time, in the hospital in Leeds. And it was one of those occasions where you get your husband has to come up overnight. And I was actually probably, I thought I was unconscious, but well, obviously I was aware the pain was incredible, absolutely incredible. The doctors at the end of the bed basically going, we're going to open up again, but we're not hopeful. So let's go on a few years. So I survived, obviously, because I'm here. I was told, basically, it is impossible for you to get ulcerative colitis because you haven't got a colon, so that's it done. So I went on a number of years, actually, but I was getting the same symptoms again. So I can't possibly. So I was in denial anyway. I had to go for a lovely examination again, and the consultant likened it to raw meat internally, and I thought, and I was devastated, actually. I was absolutely devastated because my brain was saying, that can't be possible. And I actually think I probably said that as well. And he said, well, it is. But they started calling it pouchitis, which I didn't connect the two. But it's ulcerative colitis, but in the little bit of whatever they've left inside. So ultimately, I was devastated. Hadn't really told anybody. The lovely Mark had come again. And I was like, you know, I'm not a very upfront person. So I was sitting in the furthest corner of the furthest wall at the very, very, very back. And just like, it came out with literally everything. And you know when God prods you, and even you're saying, I'm not going to, it's not going to happen. So anyway, you persisted. And he said, whoever this is, come up. So I did, but it was just like God had to put, because I was saying to God, I was having an argument, a loud sort of banner, fluorescent banner saying, it's you, come out. So Mark did his thing, and he had no way of knowing everything that had happened, absolutely zero way. And I had been told again that this is just like a permanent state. You haven't got that bit of your body, but you've got another bit, and it's just living in there, which I was upset, obviously. But suffice to say, from that time, which I think was the first time, to now, I have literally nothing wrong with that. Well, at least that bit, anyway. Yeah. So then, there was another one where I had... I was not feeling well, which is not unusual, but I was feeling really sort of very unwell. And I'd gone to the doctors, because it takes a lot for me to go to the doctors, because I dislike them a little bit. And they sent me for tests and everything. And then he told me that I had this issue, like your body is like poisoning itself, and you've got too much of something. And I said, well, that's never happened before. But it's not good, because basically there's no cure, and it's got this great long name, which I still don't know now, but I did obviously on that day. And Mark had come again, and I was at the other far end of the first possible, and again he said the actual whatever this thing was, this blood condition was. And then he quantified and clarified as, it's like the body is trying to poison itself. Mm. So come out. Wow. So he's done it again, actually. So got even the most reluctant people, like I am, who finds it really difficult to go. I mean, a lot of people think I'm overly confident and everything else, but I am actually not. So to actually have that happen to me and stand up is a massive thing. But despite my reluctance, God was prepared to ignore that, and he used this man. And again, he had no way of knowing, because that actually happened, that diagnosis had happened on the day or the day before.
And you're healed.
And I'm healed.
Praise
and
God.
And all the doctors are going, it's all right, nothing there.
Thank you. So Hebrews 11:6 says, it's impossible to please God except by faith. That those who seek God must not only believe that God is, and by the way, even the demons believe that there is a God. We must not only believe that God is, but he also is a rewarder of those who seek him. So faith is, believe it or not, we grow in faith, we develop faith, but it's also a gift that God gives us. And so Leslie just shared really about a couple of miracles, and it's not so much that I'm this little steam train, I think I can, but when God gave me those words over two different occasions to pray for her, all of a sudden, you know that you know. You're not just praying in hope, but you're praying in knowledge. Because as also as it says about faith in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. And so as we talk about making a difference in this world, the difference through our careers, through the spheres of influence God gives us, through ministry with people in the life of a church, we walk by faith. We're led by the Spirit. And there has to be faith somewhere in the equation. Sometimes it might be faith that God's given to you for a person or a situation, but sometimes you can pick up and ride on somebody else's faith. If you remember the story about the four friends who carried in their friend, the paralyzed man, to a bed, to the meeting, and they couldn't get in, so they even lowered him through that open ceiling that was there. It says that Jesus saw the faith of the four friends. Or on the occasion when the woman pushed her way through the crowd and touched the back of Jesus' jacket and was healed of 13 years of hemorrhaging, Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." So when you have an opportunity and you're being prompted by the Holy Spirit to step in and pray for somebody or administer a situation or go pioneer to do something you've never done before, you know, God gives the gift of faith, but sometimes you can pick up and use other people's faith as well. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. If you've got it, you can go places and do things, but without it, you can't. Well, I'm glad to see you're so excited. Let's all stand. By the way, you know, Leslie mentioned in different words, so to speak, that she really didn't have faith for God to heal her. But I maintain she did have faith. She was in the right place at the right time. Jesus never said you need a mountain of faith to move a mustard seed of a problem. He said if you just have a little bit of faith, mustard seed size faith, you can move a mountain. And a mountain was a Hebrew metaphor at that time for an immovable problem in your life. So first of all of us here have challenges we're facing. Sometimes there are challenges that we can just take in stride, but at other seasons they may seem like those immovable mountains. But I want to pray for a download of the gift of faith today so that as we leave here, it doesn't mean we're not facing challenges, but what it means is you could know that you know that you'd know when you're walking out this door as you leave here this afternoon that not only is God bigger than your problems and issues, but he is so committed to you that he's going to see you through this. But he doesn't just want to see you through it so that you survive. As I said last night, his will for your life is to be more than a conqueror. He doesn't just want to give you a survival level of faith. He wants to give you Lion of the Tribe of Judah faith. So just close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to just, first of all, just be at peace, just rest right now. But I want you to think about maybe two or three areas in your life right now that are your biggest challenges. Maybe there's relational difficulties, challenges going on. Maybe there's financial challenges. Maybe, you know, you're about to step into something in your future. Could be school, could be your career, could be ministry, that you just feel overwhelmed. You just feel like, oh God, I know you're calling me to do this, or I think I should go this, but I just don't know how I'm going to function. Just identify in your mind right now, maybe one or two or even three major challenges you're facing in life. Okay. Now, if this is not too religious, I want to ask you, just close your eyes right now. And even hold your hands out to God. You are body, soul, and spirit. Oftentimes what we do with our body is symbolic of how our spirit's responding to God. But there's nothing mystical about holding the hands out. But it's just a symbolic statement to God. I believe I'm about to receive something good from you. And I want to ask you, just close your eyes and pray out loud after me. Father God, thank you that I am the apple of your heavenly eye. That you know my needs even before I ask. Thank you for the good plans you have for me. Plans to give me a hope and a future. Plans to prosper my soul. Father, I freely confess. There's a few areas I feel overwhelmed with. Maybe I even feel deeply frightened by. But I confess right now, you are bigger than my problems. And you love me so much. You've already given me your very best. You've given me Jesus. I thank you that there's no other need I have that compares to that. And you are faithful. You will empower me. You will lead me and guide me by your Holy Spirit. You will lift me up out of my pit. You will set my feet upon the rock of Jesus. You will put a new song within my soul that many will see and hear. Many will turn to you. And I proclaim over my life, I may have been a victim, but that does not determine my future. My future is in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror because of your love, your wisdom, and your power. And I also thank you that you've created me to be a pioneer person, to do things I've never done before. You've created me to make history. Your spirit is upon me to set captives free, to heal broken hearts, to help people step into death and into life. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that by your grace, the things that Jesus did, I can do those things. So right where you're at right now, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you right now with power. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I can see the Spirit of God resting upon many of you right now. I can see the Holy Spirit resting upon many of you right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. More in the name of Jesus. I see the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God filling many of you right now. But I also see the power of the Holy Spirit. And just keep your eyes closed, but some of you need to hear these words. Your heavenly Father is not like your earthly father who may have let you down, who may have abandoned you, who maybe even has used you. That is not what your heavenly Father's like. Your heavenly Father loves you with a pure and holy love. He will never use you. He will never abuse you. He sent Jesus that you might have life and have it super abundantly. So I just break the lie that Satan's trying to stir up in some people that you've been hurt or rejected or abandoned, maybe by an earthly father. God the Father's not like that. He is not like that. Jesus said, you are secure in my hands, and the Father's even stronger. No one can take you out of his hands of love. Just allow the Holy Spirit to fill you right now. I just want to ask everybody to keep their eyes closed. But if you, growing up, if you went through abuse, rejection, or abandonment by your earthly father, while every eye is closed, would you just raise a hand to the Lord right now, if that's you? If you went through abuse, rejection, abandonment by an earthly father, just lift your hand up to the Lord right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would fill these men and women right now with an overwhelming, life-changing revelation of your perfect love that casts out fear. The Bible says in Psalm 68 that while a mother and father may cast you out, God makes a home for the lonely. He makes a home. Just take in the Holy Spirit right now. Just take in the Holy Spirit. Even when God calls you to do things that you've never done before, that can be threatening, that can cause you to step out of your comfort zones, His intentions for you are never but the best. Just allow the Holy Spirit to fill you now in the name of Jesus. And I also break off demonic strongholds of shame that may have come at you if you suffered from abuse, ill use, rejection by a father, mother. I break off those strongholds of shame now in the name of Jesus. And I proclaim a restoration of innocence and a restoration of God's peace and joy to be your strength. Just be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. But Lord, I also ask that you would anoint men and women right now. Would you fill them with the power of your Holy Spirit? And would you fill our hearts with a revelation of your love for hurting, broken people? That as we encounter people, even people that may try to be our enemies, Lord God, would you fill us with a revelation of your heart for those people? Lord, you call sin, sin, but you love hurting, broken sinners, Lord God. You love hurting, broken sinners. Help us to discern between unhealthy behavior and hurting people, Lord God. Father, would you fill us with a fresh revelation of your love for people that are hurting, people that are broken, people living in demonic deception. Thank you. Father, I pray that you would give many people here tonight a boldness for evangelism, to share the gospel with people, even people that have seemed very resistant to Jesus. Would you fill us with a boldness for sharing Jesus with people? Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing here, Lord God. And Father, I also ask in the name of Jesus, would you release a gift of faith in this room for miracles, signs, and wonders to happen in the name of Jesus? Father, I bless Emmanuel Church, Emmanuel Center, Lord God. I bless this church in the name of Jesus to see a radical increase, even an outbreak of miracles in the name of Jesus. Let there be a radical increase of miracles, signs and wonders, of people healed of diseases, even childhood diseases, people healed of damage to their legs and bodies from accidents, Lord God. Let this be a miracle, a house of healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, let this be a house of healing and miracles, Lord God. Lord, I pray for a download right now, Lord, of miracle faith, but also the gift of healing, the gift of word of knowledge, Lord God. And Lord, just as they prayed in the early days church, give us a boldness to preach the gospel but grant that your hand may move in healings and miracles, signs and wonders, in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Healing fire. If you're one of those people that you just have this fervent desire in your heart to pray for people to be healed, just lift a hand up to the Lord right now. Just hold that hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray you would fill these men and women with power. If you are not raising your hand, would you look around you, and if somebody has a hand held up, put hands upon them and bless them to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit right now. If somebody near you has a hand up, just put a hand of blessing upon them and bless them to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Just go ahead, speak blessings and say, Lord, would you give them opportunities and give them authority to release healings and miracles in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Fire of the Holy Spirit on you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in the name of Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you. Fire of God upon you, Jesus. Fire of the Spirit upon you, Jesus. Fire of the Spirit upon you, Jesus. Fire of the Spirit upon you. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you, Jesus. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you. You know, in today's world, if you say you're a follower of Christ, people are going to say you're crazy. But you know what? Even in the church at large, if you say you really believe the Bible, other Christians are going to say you're crazy. So Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8, Jesus told the disciples, "Go and preach this gospel of the kingdom. And as you do so, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead." So it's not just what the world says that can be intimidating, even the fear of what other Christians might think about you. But if you really take hold of the Bible, the promises of God, you're going to live in an amazing freedom in your life, completely contrary to even what some Christians may believe. Because God's word is life. It is healing, it is deliverance, it's renewal. We prayed a little bit for this last night, but is there anybody here that you suffer? I mean, we just heard Leslie's testimony about severe digestive problems. Is there anybody here that you suffer from chronic ongoing digestive problems? Could be problems with your intestines, could be problems with your colon, with the stomach, the lining of the stomach, could be food allergies, serious ongoing food allergies, could be IBS. Is there anybody here that suffers any of those sort of things? Okay, just raise your hand right where you're at. Just raise a hand. And again, if look around you. If someone near you is raising a hand, get near them and stretch a hand towards them. Women can touch the stomach of women. Men can touch the stomach of men. Or just put a hand upon somebody's shoulder. But just begin to speak healing to them now in the name of Jesus. You have a digestive issue? Yeah. A couple of you, just stretch hands to him right there. Just begin to speak healing to his stomach. Ask the person what their problem is. Ask them what it is and begin to speak healing in the name of Jesus to that condition. Go ahead, speak out loud. Speak in faith to that condition, the gift of faith. Thank you. Just keep praying for them another moment, and then we've just got two more quick things we want to pray for. Okay, if you're receiving prayer, just keep receiving prayer. I've got two final categories I want to pray for. And this is not to embarrass anybody here, but I sense the Lord saying there's a number of people here. You constantly live with a lot of confusing thoughts. That, you know, we talk about brain fog. You know, if you're overly tired or, you know, you've got this condition. But I believe the Lord is saying there's a few people here that you have a very hard time focusing. You have a very hard time having clarity in your thought life. That you feel like it's hard for you to understand because you feel it's so hard to focus. I don't know how it is in England, but let me tell you, we've got a plague in America that a lot of teachers and a lot of parents are giving drugs to kids when what they're suffering from, it's not a physiological thing. It's a spiritual thing. And, you know, ADD and all that, obviously there is a reality to ADD, but they're just throwing labels and drugs at so many people today, and it just makes them worse off. But there are a lot of people that suffer from attention deficit disorder, and it's not always physiological in the root problem. It's spiritual. And as well, there's some people, because of stress in life, they feel it's just so hard to focus, and they feel like they're always in brain fog. And I'm not asking this to embarrass anybody, but because I believe God actually has right now deliverance for some of you from that. If you relate to that, would you just raise a hand right now? Just hold the hand up high. Hold the hand up high. And what I'd like to do is, again, if you're a Christian and someone near you has their hand raised up, would you get near them right now? This person, a couple people in the back. And I want you, I'm going to lead a prayer right now. So those of you raising their hand, just close your eyes right now. This is a spiritual transition that's about to take. So if that's you, just close your eyes. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over demonic strongholds of the spirit of confusion, and I pull out those hooks now. In the name of Jesus, I pull out those hooks now of strongholds of confusion that have been warring against your soul. I break off generational curses of confusion that have come down the bloodline from your mother or your father's side of the family, I break that off in the name of Jesus, and I speak your release of peace to you, the peace of God to reign over your thought life and to energize your focus now in the name of Jesus. I can see God moving on a number of you right now. This is a spiritual transaction that's taking place. God is pulling some things out of you, but he's putting his peace within you. God has not given you a spirit of confusion, but a spirit of love, power, and sound-mindedness in Christ Jesus. So I speak peace to your soul, and I pull out the hooks in the name of Jesus into your soul from a spirit of confusion and an inability to stay focused. I speak a release of the peace of God to reign over your thought life in the name of Jesus. And I break off those generational curses in the name of Jesus. I break off those generational curses that some of you grew up with a father and mother that were always distracted, that were just kind of all over the map in their focuses. I break that off. And I bless you with clarity. There's some of you who are receiving prayer right now. You're a student, and you're going to find it much easier to stay focused in what you're studying. There's some of you that in your careers and your areas of responsibility, you're going to find it much easier to stay focused. But even more than that, you're going to find it much easier to, on a regular basis, experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. There's one last thing I want to do, and I just want to give a general invitation. There's some men and women, you feel like there's a call in your future to do missionary work and to maybe go to other countries and preach the gospel.
I wonder who that could be.
If that's you, would you come to the front right now? That you feel in your future there's a call to go to the nations and preach the gospel. Maybe short term, maybe long term. If that's you, would you come to the front? Just spread out in a line if you would. Just come all the way to the front. Okay, those of you who came forward, just hold out your hands to the Lord right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for that desire you've put within these men and women to preach the gospel to the nations, whether it's going to India, whether it's going to Africa, whether it's going to really strange places like Scotland. Lord, I just bless these men and women. Your spirit will be upon them to preach the good news. In the name of Jesus, come Holy Spirit, fill them right now. Fill them, Lord God. I bless your feet to be anointed with the gospel in the name of Jesus. I bless your feet to be anointed with the gospel. And Father, I ask you to lead them and guide them in Jesus' name. Lead them and guide them to go to the nations of this world. I pray you'd bring them financial breakthroughs where they need finances. I pray you bring open doors for them in the name of Jesus. We bless your feet to be anointed with the gospel to go to the nations, whether short-term or long-term. And some of you, you might never even leave your community, but God might give you favor with nationalities right here, different nationalities right here in Durham. Thank you, Lord. I was just about 3 weeks ago, I was with the church in Toronto, Canada, and they are seeing a huge number of Muslim people come to Lord Jesus Christ. And so they've got a powerful ministry to people from the Middle East right now, but they're right at their doorstep. Dear Lord God, let your fire be upon them, Lord God, to share Jesus with people. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Fire of God upon you. Fire of the Lord upon you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you in Jesus' name. Fire of the Holy Spirit upon you, John. For the nations in the name of Jesus. Fire of gospel upon you guys. For Japan in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled in the name of Jesus. Well, turn to the person next to you and say, "You look different to me." Now say to them, "You look like you want to go take on a Goliath."